Welcome to the Turning Point Community Church Change Your World podcast with lead pastor John Wagner. Turning Point strives to bring fresh insight and powerful truths from God's unchanging word. Now, here's our special guest with today's message.
Jesus had spent at least 3 years with his few disciples. And as you read in John chapter 14, he's now beginning to communicate with them a little deeper. And in John chapter 13, actually, verse 33, he brings them together. And he says this words. He says, "My children," you know, and I kind of think, you know, for me, with I have four kids, and thinking of them coming together, I'm bringing them together. I'm saying, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." And just that alone, I'm sure, puzzled and perplexed some of them. You know, we have been with you. You've been with us for just over 3 years. And now you're telling us that you're with us for just a little longer. And he says, "You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." And I would like to imagine myself, and I'd like to imagine for you to imagine yourself in that setting, with Jesus, and kind of all kinds of things would go through your mind. And Thomas, that we call Doubting Thomas, he's one of them right there. And if you read that whole chapter, chapter 14, you begin to see that these men are really afraid. They're beginning to ask questions. Even men like Philip, who hardly talked, and actually Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, they begin to worry. You know, this is what he has told us. What is happening? So Thomas steps up and he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus, in a verse that is very familiar to most of us, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus responds to this man, Thomas, and I think he would respond to us this morning in answering that question. "I am the way." So Thomas is right there before Jesus, and he has asked the question, and Jesus, in his grace, he responds, and he says, "I am the way." So Jesus is pointing to himself. He's pointing at himself and saying, "Thomas, I am the way." In other words, you're looking for the way. You don't know where you're going. I am the way. I'm the embodiment of the way. But then he also says, "I am the truth." And for me, it's like you look at Jesus and you begin to think, if you are among those disciples and he has been leading, he has been doing all these great things, miracles, feeding the hungry and so on, and now he's saying, "I'm about to leave, and I raise this question, where are you going? How do we?" And Jesus begins to say, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the way." And for me, going back many years ago, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, way back in December, I still remember the day, December 2nd, 1973, at 10 o'clock in the evening. And we had this camp, a youth camp, and the preacher, who was also a student, had preached, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ that day, and I'll never forget. It stands a significant day for me. I was only 19, and so you can figure the math now, and you know how old I am. But there I was, and the truth had been preached, and I got the truth. And for someone like me who had been going to church all these years as a staunch, my parents were staunch Presbyterians, and I was involved with them from childhood. You know, I'm thinking like Pastor John preached last Sunday about baptism. And, you know, I was you know, kind of sprinkled with water when I was a little baby and given the name Samuel. And so I grew up going to church. And so I'm sitting in this camp and I'm thinking, well, I've been in church all this time. I've thought I'm a Christian. And now I hear the gospel preached. I hear the truth, so to speak, for the very first time. And I'm thinking, this is the truth that I did not have. And Jesus is responding to Thomas and he says, I am the truth. And so I am receiving that truth, and I received that truth on that day, and I was born again. And it's not until that happens, my brother, my sister, and those of you here this morning that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not born again. It's as plain as that. And we don't like to really make it as plain as it is, but that is what it is. And so on that day, even though I had gone to church all those years, I knew that I did not know the truth. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I accepted, I received Jesus into my heart, and I was born again. And I realized, perhaps more than ever before, that it's us born again Christians. Only the born again Christians have the truth. And that truth has set us free. If you're here this morning and you're born again, you and you alone as a Christian, I as a Christian, we are the only ones on the planet Earth that know the truth. Every time I say that in different settings, they begin to say, that's very selfish. You know, you think you're the only ones who know the truth? And I say, yes. You don't want to know why? Because that truth is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And he said, he is the truth, and I have him in me, and you don't have. Do you have him in your heart? And when they say no, then I tell them, that's why. You know, I know the truth. So if you're born again here this morning, I want to remind you that you know the truth. You have the truth. The question is this, my brothers, my sisters. If you really are convinced and you know deep down within you that you have Jesus Christ and he declared, he has said, I am the truth. The challenge, the question is, what are you doing with that truth? What are we doing with that truth when there's so much lies out there? How selfish could we be when we know, as born-again Christians, we have the truth? How much are we sharing that truth with others? As we think about how to go out and share that truth with others, it's very important for us to know then the heartbeat of Jesus. What is it when he says, I am the truth? And what about that as it relates to missions? What about that as it relates to sharing this truth, this good news with others? We got to hear, we got to feel, we got to know the heart of Jesus. One of the problems we have, obviously, is that we are afraid. We kind of think, well, it's really for others to go out and share. But I'll tell you, the problem we have within the Church of Jesus Christ today is that we have not really felt and heard and known the heart of Jesus. And as we look at Matthew chapter 9, Matthew reveals the heart of Jesus, the heart of compassion. Jesus, so we know the truth. Jesus is the truth. Now, we want to know what is the heart of Jesus about this truth. So, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. And I want you to note this morning that Jesus went through the towns and villages. He did not circumvent some areas. He went through towns and villages. And so often for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we know we have the only truth, we try to avoid certain settings. We try to avoid certain people. We want to go where we feel we are comfortable. But Jesus, the truth, he went from town to village. And you know, I was reminded as I was looking into that scripture, there is an ad here in Lubbock. It's a dealership, obviously. And they sell Hondas, you know. I don't know about you with Hondas, and it's not a bias here, but, you know, I think it's a good car, and I think Fords are good cars, and I think Chevys are good cars and all that. I think Toyotas are the best. But anyhow, here we go. So we have this ad that comes on, and this man who is advertising, he is trying to describe what they do and the big thing about Hondas, and then he ends up and says, because this is where Hondas are. You know, it's like you're looking for Hondas, this is where you come. Well, the truth is this. Jesus went where people were. If you want to go and buy a Honda, you go to the Honda dealership. And for us who know the truth, we know Jesus. We got to take this truth. It's not just about people coming to where Hondas are. It's not just about people coming to us here in church. It's not just about waiting until Christmas and Easter time to tell people, can you come now? It's not about that. It's about us knowing that we have the only truth, and that is what the world out there is looking for. That's what they need. They might not know so, but we know that that's what has set us free, and they are waiting. They don't know they need to be set free, and we have that truth. It is our responsibility as a church to take that truth where people are. Hallelujah. It is us to go where people are. And so Jesus went where the need was, towns and villages. But you know, you can talk about going to neighborhoods, going to towns and villages, but you can go everywhere. And you know, you can shut your eyes if you like. You know, I can walk down the street, and I know, especially here in Lubbock, you hardly see people. Because you see cars, and people are in cars, and people are in those homes. The neighborhoods these days is such that, you know, you drive through the alley, and you come through the garage, and you come in the house. You come inside your house, and you hardly get to know your neighbor. And I'm glad the builder of my house is here this morning. But you hardly get to know your neighbors. But Jesus went to where people were. But let me tell you, when he got to those towns and villages, he saw people. Hallelujah. He saw people. And I want to ask you this morning, when you walk around in this city, what are you seeing? Are you seeing cars and buildings and all these many restaurants in Milwaukee Street, Milwaukee Avenue and everywhere? Are you just seeing all these buildings? Or are you concerned, my brother, my sister, this morning, that in those homes, in those restaurants, in those cars, there are people? So when Jesus went through towns and villages, he saw people. But what happened? And this is the heart of Jesus. We read in that same verse that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus had compassion on them. I will never forget, way back in 1978, I had gone to study in Great Britain. It used to be Great Britain then, it's no longer great. But I went to Great Britain, and I was invited to a home of a friend, a lady who used to be a teacher back in my home country of Kenya, and had come back home, and she heard that I'm in the country. She invited me to visit with her parents. So I went up to Birmingham, England, and I was sitting in their living room, and right before me was this black and white TV screen. Do you remember those of you ever? Do you remember there used to be black and white? If you're old enough, you remember that. Yeah, we did have black and white TVs. And so here I am, and I'm sitting and I'm watching this documentary, and the BBC is featuring the peoples of Kenya. I'm thousands of miles away from home. I am in Birmingham, England, and in this home, and it's zeroing in on people from my own home country. And it was the Turkana people. Now, please understand here that Kenya is the size just slightly smaller than Texas. And it being that size, we have between 45 and 50 different tribes. Now, you ask, what is a tribe, right? Now, every tribe speaks a different language. So you can understand, you're driving from here to Sweetwater, okay? It's about 2 hours away from here, and you find a different tribe. They don't speak your language. You don't understand them, and I don't understand them. You drive from here, you go to Midlands, another tribe, different language. And so here I was, and I knew growing up, of this one particular tribe that lives in the northwestern region of Kenya. And they are called the Turkana people. And I am a Kikuyu by tribe. And Kikuyus and Turkanas don't mix. And here I am in Birmingham, and I'm sitting there, and in spring of that same year, 1978, God had challenged me through a man called Brother Andrew, who used to smuggle Bibles into Soviet Union in the 60s and 70s. He was a speaker at that convention. And in spring that year, I had said, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. It's a long story. I won't go into it this morning. But here is summer now, and I'm sitting in Birmingham, and I'm seeing on this black and white TV the peoples of Kenya, and it's the Turkana people. And I'm thinking, a few months ago, God spoke to me very clearly, Sammy, I'm calling you into ministry. And now he is being very, very specific. He's telling me, and guess what, Sammy? I want you to go to the Turkana people. And I'm thinking, Lord, I think that's a terrible mistake you're making. You know, because Turkana, one, I can't speak the language. I possibly can't eat their food. They live in, they're nomadic. They're way out there. And Kikuyus don't go there. And if the Kikuyus go there, they go there to do business, basically to exploit. All right? So I said, Lord, I think you're making a mistake. But, you know, deep down in my heart, I knew that God was saying, you got to go to them. But let me tell you, my friends, something had to happen in my heart. I had to ask the Lord, give me that compassion for these people. My brothers, my sisters, I don't know how you feel. I don't know what you think this morning. I don't know as you drive around and you see people in restaurants, and there are countless of them here in Lubbock. You see people in banks, you see people in hospitals, you see people in all these cars, everywhere we go, people. I wonder, do we realize that we have that truth? Jesus Christ indwells us, and Jesus is saying, this man, this woman, these children are going to a lost eternity without me. And I have given you the responsibility, Thomas, Philip, Judas, put your name in there. I am calling you, and I want to put within you this compassion so that you can go out and share the gospel with them, the truth with them. We read in that verse when Jesus saw the crowd and he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep harassed, sheep without a shepherd. And I remember when I set foot for the first time in 1982 in Turkana land. And here I am, and I introduce myself. Of course, you can always tell back home what tribe you're from by your name. So I tell them I'm Sammy Murimi, and of course the Turkana people begin to figure out, Murimi, he's from this, he's not one of us. He is not a Turkana. But God has sent me to the Turkana people. And I knew, and I can tell you story after story this morning. But even driving for 2 days from my hometown all the way to Turkana through rough roads, had, we call them punctures there, you call them flat tires here. You know, I had a flat tire, and I get there, and I'm sitting on these rocks, and I'm thinking, one, it's about 115 degrees, it's hot, and these rocks are hot. This is 1982, and I tell the Lord, one, how am I going to tell my fiancée, Mary, that actually God is actually calling, this is a place How am I going to tell her? But besides that, what is going on in my heart? And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Lord, are you really sure you didn't make a mistake? Of course I know. I knew that God didn't make a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. But I'm questioning. And as I saw these men and women, and my brothers, my sisters, I will be leading a team from here. Luke, Pastor Luke here and I will be leading a team. Six of us are leaving for Turkana Land in July. And I've taken other people from across the United States over there. You go there, and you're going to villages. And to find these villages, my son who is here has been there with me. And we go, and we are trying to make roads as we go to find where the people are. But deep down, there's this compassion in me. I have the truth, the only truth there is. And these men and women are going to a lost eternity without Jesus. And Lord, you have called me as an Amakikuyu man, and I don't know how they are going to receive me. But you know what? Even when Jesus came, he was not received. I am going, and we are driving through these rough roads, and we get to a village. And guess what? We find people. People that are hungry. People that have very little on themselves. People that are thirsty. But men and women and children that are waiting. They don't even know that there's truth somewhere. And I stand there. They have never seen anything like this, the Bible. And we are showing the Jesus film in the evening. And those of you who have never seen the Jesus film, take time to view Jesus film. And we are sitting there in the night, in the sky, the stars in the sky, and we are sitting there. And these men and women come around and they are watching us. We set up and they have never seen a generator. They have never seen a light bulb. They have never seen all these cables and everything. They have never seen a screen, leave alone that we are actually going to show people on that screen. And they are going to hear voices. And by this time, we had done what we call the lip sync. So we had our own staff that had translated, had done the lip sync. So it's in Turkana language. So they are watching this, and they are looking at these white people on the screen, and they are speaking in their own language, in Turkana language. And I just want you to imagine what's going through. And they begin to ask, why are these people here? It's a long way. Sami and these people have come a long way. And my brothers and my sisters, many of us here, if not all of us, I mean, we have gone to theaters, you know, movie theaters. We have watched all that, and you just go back home, and, you know, it's just a common thing. And they are looking at this. And then they see on the screen, they see Jesus healing the sick. They have no hospitals over there, my brothers, my sisters. They see Jesus feeding the hungry. And they clap every time Jesus feeds the hungry. They all clap. Every time he heals the sick, they all clap. And then they see these Roman soldiers come along. And they arrest this good man. Now, the picture I'm trying to paint here for you is how remote this place is in my own home country. And yet, these people have not heard the gospel. And God has called me and others to go and share the gospel with them. And as they begin to see the Roman soldiers come and crucify this man, good man, listen, the men begin to reach down on the ground and they begin to pick rocks. And you know what they're about to do? They are going to throw rocks on the screen to kill the Roman soldiers. That is how remote the villages we are going to are. But let me tell you, when Jesus came to us, we were in the remotest part. We were lost in sin. But he was moved with compassion. And he said, I cannot live up here in heaven. I got to go down where these people are. And I'm going to die for them. I'm going to set them free. I am the truth. And Jesus came and he set you free. And the question is, do we have that compassion that Jesus had? Are we prepared? Do we want to? Are we ready to go out and share this truth with others? The problem is not that, as the passage says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He was speaking to a handful, about 11 of them. I don't know how many we are here. I know we had a good number, many in the first service. But I want you to know, based on my arithmetic of in math of many years ago, there's more than 11 here. There is more than 11 here. And Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful. It's all around us. But the workers are few then. But I want you to know that the workers are not few today. And this is the point. It's not that the workers are few today. We have so many workers, including me, including you seated here this morning. The problem is this. We refuse to see people through the heart of Jesus. We refuse. We disobey. We know what Jesus has told us to do. But we will go back this afternoon. We'll go back to our homes. The week Monday will come and we'll just, it's the same old thing. We'll continue. And my question to you this morning, do you have the compassion that Jesus had? I think one of the problems today is that we want to be spiritually correct. You know, they have that term, politically correct. We want to be spiritually correct. Everything has to be set just right. In fact, it has to be so right. The only place that I can actually invite people to come and hear this truth is in the church. Because everything is set. And then you come, and of course, we have a great worship team. We have a good facility. Everything is set. But Jesus is saying, go out to the towns and villages. Go out to those neighborhoods. Go out to those places that are here in Lubbock that you don't want even to see. Go out there. And as you have that compassion within you, you'll be amazed at what God will do. I started going to Turkana in 1997 now, 82 and 97, that's about 19 years. I needed to be prepared. When I got there, I said, Lord, I'm not ready. And so it took 19 years, but all this time, it's Sami, is a Turkana people. And when I went in there in 1997 and started to this day, by God's grace, we have seen over 350 churches planted in that whole region. We have seen many thousands of Turkana people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, right now, we are trying to do transitioning, giving them the leadership, letting them do it. Churches have grown and continue to grow. But my brother, my sister, it has to begin somewhere. And it's not going to begin with, here I am, Lord, send him. It's not going to begin there. It's going to begin, here I am, Lord, send me. If you said me, it's you. So don't look up to the pastor. Don't look up to the elders. Don't look up to those evangelists. Here I am, send me. The other problem we have is we fear man. We are so afraid, and yet we live in America. We are not in Pakistan or Iran or Syria. We are in America, where there is freedom of speech. And what we have done, we have let everybody else speak, and we who know the truth have gone silent. And I ask myself, if we really believe and are convinced that we have the truth, why are we silent?
Why can't we tell it? And we know that that is the only thing that will set men and women free. Why are you afraid of others? Are you afraid of what they'll do to you? Are you saying, if I share with them, they'll think I'm a fanatic? They'll think I'm crazy. Let me tell you, I'd rather they think me as being crazy and fanatic, but I'll tell you something. When they find that truth, when they find Jesus, they have eternity. And everything else boils down to nothing, because we shall spend eternity. I will spend eternity with those true kind of men and women. I shall spend eternity with the people that I shared with that truth. So, my brothers, my sisters, let's put fear aside and let's go ahead. Let's have that compassion of Jesus and share the good news wherever we go. And I want you to know that opportunities abound, even here in Lubbock. You ask, really? How can I do that? And I had to figure out, one, it's hard to go to my neighbor, even though I have learned how to do that too. But you know what? Let me ask you here, and don't be bashful, don't be ashamed, don't be afraid. How many of you here this morning are planning that after this church service, which ends in about 3 hours from now, how many of you have arranged to go to a restaurant for lunch? Just raise your hand. You know, you arranged with your wife this morning. I said, darling, can we go for lunch or something like that? You're going for lunch. Now, when you go to a restaurant, you know, you're met at the door. They say, you know, please line up here. You'll be wait for to be seated. My wife and I don't eat out a lot, actually. But anyway, so you go in there, and this waitress or waiter, they come and meet you at the door, and they give you the menu, and they sit you down, and there you are. And then they come, and have you ever noticed how kind and gentle and nice waiters and waitresses are? You know, do you know why they're that? Do you know why they do that? I don't know whether they do that at home, but do you know why they're so nice and they're trying to show you the menu and they read out the menu? In fact, they have memorized the menu. You know, do you know why? You know why. What is the reason? The tip. They know what is coming. So I better be very nice. I better do this nicely. I better walk very well. And they do. And so I say to myself, Sammy, you know, they're doing their job. And they're doing a great job. They have the menu. They have memorized the menu. And I'm saying, but you know what I have in me? I have the only truth. I have the greatest menu, if you like. I have the truth. And God gives me an opportunity right there and then to share that truth. So you say, how do you do that, Sammy? It's very simple, brothers and sisters. When they are serving you, as soon as they serve you and you say, you know, thank you so much, but you know something, you have served us so well. Can I share something with you too that is so precious to me? Do you think they'll say no? Do you think they'll say, no. Especially after you've tipped them? You have the whole you have an opportunity right there, my brother, my sister, to tell them, can I tell you about someone that is so precious to me? And you share with them Jesus, and they're not going to kick you out of the restaurant. They want you to come back tomorrow for another tip. So you share the gospel with them right there, and then I always carry my business cards on me. Carry something, give them, and tell them, if you want to call me, but you know what? The job is done. You have shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. There are so many opportunities here in Lubbock. And we do, you know, laundromats. You know, not everybody has a washer and a dryer at home. You know, I still remember when I was in seminary, we used to go to a laundromat close to our house. And, you know, a laundromat? And you don't have to go to a laundromat to do laundry. You can just go there and just sit down. You know, everybody thinks you have laundry. That's why you're there. But you know what? Except for these days with all the smartphones, you know, The person comes and sits next to you. They are waiting for their laundry. The other one is over here. They are waiting for their laundry. They are here for about an hour, if not more. And you just start a conversation. And a good place to start in Lubbock is about the weather. It's very windy today. It's like, you know, we have had no rain and so on. Begin there. Don't look for something that is so theological. You know, just ask, about the, you know, this is... And then begin. And you know what, my friends? The Spirit of God will give you words to say. But you know, you have given the truth. And so, God is so patient. And we take, so often, we take God's love and grace and patience for granted. His desire is that all might come to know him. And my friends, he is giving you that opportunity today. He is giving you that opportunity. You can be doing it here in Lubbock. You can do it in your own Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You can do it, and we can do it together. But you have that compassion. You have the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus is in you. You're born again. You have the compassion of Jesus Christ. You know you got to tell it. But then the question is, are you compelled to do it? Do you feel like the Apostle Paul felt? And this is what he says in Romans chapter 9. And when I hear the heart of Paul, the Apostle Paul, I kind of think, here was a man who persecuted Christians. And on his way to Damascus, we know what Jesus did. And I think of myself lost in sin, and Jesus found me, and Jesus saved me. And here is Paul now looking back, but he says this, he wished he were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. What is Paul saying? Can you imagine a man like Paul saying, I would rather be cursed, not enter heaven, for the sake of my own people? My brothers, my sisters, have you come to a point where you look at people and you say, Lord, one, thank you for giving me life. Thank you that I'm alive today. But Lord, as I look around, I see men and women that are lost. And I'd rather not go to heaven that they might go to heaven. Of course, we know Paul went to heaven. He knew he was going to heaven. But he was so compelled. And he says in another verse, you know, his heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites that they may be saved. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, that's my desire. That men and women right here in Lubbock and around the world, that they might be saved. You know, last Saturday, there's a group of a few ministers that meet every Thursday. And we kind of pray together. We are trying to target one neighborhood. It's actually the neighborhood on, I think it's 98 and Indiana, somewhere there. And so we have been praying, God, give us this block. Give us this part of Lubbock. So we meet, we pray. But then on Saturday, we put one foot in front of the other. And we decided we are going there. And so we divided into groups of three. And I had one lady and a tall gentleman. And the lady wasn't feeling well, so we left her in the car praying. And then this 6-foot-plus gentleman, a white guy, and this black guy. And there we were. And we were walking down the streets looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And I'm thinking to myself, and I told him, I said, do you realize how powerful this is? And he's looking at me saying, he didn't seem to understand. He said, Here is a black guy and a white man. You are 6 foot and I am not that tall. We are walking down the streets in Lubbock and people are looking through the windows and they are possibly wondering, what is going on here? That is powerful. But what people are looking to see are men and women born again, filled with the Spirit of God, who do not fear, who say, I would rather die than see this men and women go to a lost eternity. And so they're stepping out of their comfort zone and they're going out to do it. Just before Christmas this past year, I was sitting in my office and we have a neighbor on 77th Street where we live, and he likes to work on his yard. His yard looks, you know, I kind of look at his yard and I look at mine, and, you know. And so he is a fireman, I think, in Woolforth. And I never really gotten to know him very well. And, you know, like Pastor John would say, the CEO guys, you know, Christmas, Easter, whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's about Christmas time. And I think it's important for me to go out and share the gospel with this man. And I'm in my office. And it's like, I'm sitting there, I'm giving myself all kinds of excuses. You know, I have this to do, I have that to do, you know, I have a blah, 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 and all those excuses. And it's like, but do you have compassion for this man, Sammy? Yes. All right. If you do, I want you to drop everything you are doing right now. It's in the middle of the day. He possibly is at work. Of course, I'm giving myself all those questions. He's possibly, he's a fireman, he's not there, and the Lord. And it's like, I could not stay still. So what I did, I got up, got some literature that was given by the church here, and I went, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, this is absolutely crazy, because it's the middle of the day. How do I expect to find this guy? And even worse, for me anyway, am I going to knock at his door and actually share the gospel with him? So my heart, deep down, I know I need to, but something is compelling me. If I don't share with this man, and I don't know whether he knows the Lord Jesus Christ or not, but I got to go and share with him. If I don't, probably his blood is upon me. And I left and I went home. And I'm driving around on 77. There's a cul-de-sac and I'm going around and I'm looking and I'm thinking, I'm not sure. This neighborhood, you know? And I go there and knock at the door, and it's the middle of the day, and anybody sees me around, they will think, aha. So I said, okay, Lord, but you're compelling me. I have a desire. I have a love for Jesus, and I go to share. So before I knocked at the door, I see a truck drive around, and I look. This is absolutely of God. And I look and I see it's the guy. Now, I can't tell you his name. I couldn't tell you his name. But I see it's him. He's driving around. And I'm thinking, this time he's here. And he drives around the alley in the back to get in. And I follow in my van. And I'm following. I'm thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. He goes into his driveway in the back. And I come and park right behind him. And I open my door. I open my window. And I say, hey, you know, I'm your neighbor. And I just wanted, I've seen you mowing your grass and so on, blah, blah. So we talk a little bit. And I said, we are having this fest, you know, this thing in our church, Christmas. Can I give you some literature? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I gave him, and I don't know what, but he never showed up. But the point is this. I got the job done before the Lord. I did what God had called me to do. And my brothers, my sisters, there are so many opportunities that God is telling us, is showing us. But I ask you this morning, are you compelled? Are you ready? Do you want to do it? And my friends, we got to do one thing. We got to take a step of faith and share the gospel with someone else. Don't keep what you have. It's there to be given out. Is there to be given away? We got to declare, like the Apostle Paul, woe to me if I do not share the gospel. Can you declare that? As you leave here this morning, can you say, woe to me If I don't share this truth, this precious truth I have, we got to be bold. We can no longer, my brothers, my sisters, be ashamed of the truth. We got to tell the truth. And then we got to acknowledge publicly that Christ is the one and only Savior of the world. He is. He is the only truth. So I ask you, do you know the truth? And if you're seated here this morning and you don't know the truth, you're not born again, we'll give you the opportunity at the end of our service. But for those of us who know the truth, my prayer is this, that we will know that that truth has set us free. We'll say in ourselves, I have compassion for the lost. Lord, I want to be compelled. And you know, let me ask you, how that happens? You go home today, take the word of God, lock yourself in your room, get down on your knees, call upon the Lord, tell him, yes, I have heard, and I know the truth. Give me that compassion you had when you saw the multitudes and you saw them as sheep without a shepherd. I want that. I want to see people around me, not just as cars driving around, not just like little trees walking around. I want to see men and women as those that have the breath of God in them, the breath of God that needs to be redeemed. And God, you have placed me here, and you have told me, I want you to go out and share with them because I have given you that life. You know the truth. And I'll tell you something. If you are sincere before the Lord will put that compassion within your heart. You'll begin to weep. You'll begin to confess. You'll begin to repent. And I'm telling you, when you rise up tomorrow, Monday, you'll be saying, Lord, show me that one person. Don't even wait until tomorrow. You raised your hand. You're going to a restaurant today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Say one or two words. We got to be bold. But I urge you this morning, as you go back, take time before the Lord and ask the Lord to put that compulsion, if you like, for you to go out and share the Lord. I remember, now I think I'm on African time, so I think I'm okay here, but very quickly, I still remember way back in the 60s and 70s when the Spirit of God was moving across Africa, East Africa, and some of us were young people, and we didn't know, I was raised Presbyterian and so on, but the Lord began to move. The Lord began to move, and we would go to marketplaces and share the gospel, and it's amazing what God did. Now, as we conclude, a time has come for us to be commissioned. We have been sitting here, Sunday in, Sunday out. We have come here, my brothers, my sisters, we have heard the gospel. Our brother John, Sister Elena, they have shared with us. And I see their beautiful children up here. And we have heard, we have received. I wonder, what is God saying to us as a church? Are we all going to sit back heartbroken and wish and come up with all this, oh, now, you know, I might go somewhere else and so on? Or are we going to say, Lord, I want you to commission me. I want you to send me. Now, Jesus comes to these disciples. They are afraid because, you know, he's risen now, and he comes to them and they fear the Jews. And he comes to them and he tells them, fear not, you know, and he says to them, all authority. And by this time they know when he declares, when he says all authority has been given to him, they better believe because he has already conquered death. And if you have conquered death, surely all authority, if there's one thing that can declare you as having all authority over everything, is when you conquer death. So he has conquered death. He comes, all authority has been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go. This is in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Therefore, go and preach. Go and share. Go and make disciples. Let me ask you this morning. This afternoon. Let me ask you. Do you really believe that Jesus has all the authority? Do you? If you do, then you'll go out. You go out and make disciples, and the time is now. We got to go. God is calling this church.
Turning Point reaches people by teaching Jesus with creative excellence. If you would like to learn more about Turning Point Community Church and its ministries, visit us on the web at tpcconline.com. We're located on the northwest corner of 114th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. Thank you for listening to today's message. Join us next week for another message that will change your world.